it going, man?
Going great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. How do you like this winter weather here in Wisconsin?
I don't know. The older I get, the more it sucks.
Have you ever lived anywhere else but Wisconsin?
Yeah. I mean, I have, but I was always based here because I was on the road a lot. So,
yeah.
Lived in Phoenix, Arizona. Lived in, Scottsdale. Difference. Scottsdale, Arizona. Lived in Hong Kong for 2 years.
What was that like?
Same. It was different. You get a chance to really appreciate the United States when you live somewhere other than the United States.
So, did you feel the communism there?
No.
Not at all?
Not, no.
It was like normal, right? Everything was fine?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Considering it was 92 to 94, so I was not as aware of things that I am today.
And that was when the British were running it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Until 1997.
Yeah, that was like a whole separate little country right there.
Yeah, so I had I was informed to take my passport, make a copy of it, lock it in a lockbox, and just keep a copy of your passport. I was like, well, why is that? Well, because people will pay big money for it. I'm like, well, I can sell it.
Yeah, right. That, you know, I think that it seems like people, they have maybe misconceptions about other countries, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pick on you, but
no.
You probably had a conception of what China was like.
I did.
And then when you went there and you actually saw it, you thought about, okay, maybe it's not really like they're saying outside of China. Could that be true?
That's very true. Yeah. I learned a little bit of the language, like the Cantonese. I learned some of that. I can't speak it now, so don't ask.
I could do that when I'm drunk.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you learn to adapt, and it's, you know, you're living life, you know, and you really appreciate, you know, what we have here in the United States.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, there it was like you can drink out of a bubbler here, you know, or what they call fountain, water fountain they call
yeah.
them now. So,
yeah.
But there, if you do it, you're guaranteed you're going to get sick. So everything was bottled water.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I heard like the rivers and stuff, they're all polluted.
Oh my God, terrible.
Yeah.
You know, we used to have a running joke. I'm like, dude, I'll give you $100 if you jump in this water.
So that was a good experience for you then. And that, like you said, that made you appreciate America.
Yep.
That's good. All right, so you're also a really fine musician, aren't you?
Try to be.
You're a keyboard player primarily.
Yes, I am. Piano player, yes.
Yeah, and you've been playing for how long?
Whew. 50 years.
50 years? Wow.
Yeah. 59, so well, probably longer than that. Started when I was 6, so do the math.
So what kind of music do you like to play?
Depends on, like, you know, I like it all, you know. So my brother was into like the Peter Frampton album, because he had that.
I remember that.
And I was always into like Stevie Wonder and, you know, the Elton John, Aretha Franklin, you know, and these are, hearing that, it was like, wow, you know, and then my brother would put on this Frampton album. I was like, well, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But they were very different, but they had the same kind of technique.
Really?
You know, there's like
remember when he started that thing where he stuck that tube in his mouth?
Oh yeah.
Do you see that anymore?
Actually I saw Stevie Wonder do that first.
Okay.
Stevie did it first. Back in the early 70s, like 70 or 71, did on like a Sesame Street program. I was like, what is that? You know, and then I saw Frampton do it. And I was like, wow. And then in the 80s, you had, you know, the Roger Troutman and the Zap. They did it. And I was like, everybody's doing it. You know, yeah. I tried to do it. I sucked at it. So.
Yeah. What was the purpose of that? Everybody really got it.
I think it was, in my opinion, I think it was like a futuristic thing. It was like, hey, this is my way of, you know, trying to get ahead of the game. And this is what music's going to sound like, you know, 20 years from now. So let me get ahead of the game.
You know? Are you afraid or have concern about AI, what it's going to do to the music biz?
Absolutely.
What do you think is going to happen?
So that, I think AI plays on the fact that some people don't realize, they can't tell facts from fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, they, you know, it's like, this is real and this is not, but it looks the same. they can't, some people just can't tell, you know. It's like, oh, wow, did you see these two people together? I'm like, those two people will never hang out. Well, then I saw them on YouTube. Well, it's probably AI generated.
Yeah.
Well, what's that?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you try and explain it, they still won't get it. You know?
But I mean, as far as like even composition, music composition.
Yeah, you can write a whole song. You can download the app right now and just say, I want it to be country, and I want it to sound like this, and I want it to have an R&B feel to it, and there's your song.
It'll produce it.
Produce it.
What about like the vocals and all that?
Yeah, I want it to sound like a Sam Hunt, or I want it to sound like a Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
You know, and they'll put that in, and it'll be not quite the Stevie Wonder, but it'll have that feel.
Yeah.
You know?
But doesn't it take away from like the human nature of music a little bit? I mean, yeah, obviously it does.
Absolutely.
And it's sometimes you think about that and you go, that's cheating. You know, sometimes you think that's cheating, okay? Now, I don't know if that's an accurate term to give it, but like synthesizers, remember those, right?
Yes.
Okay, so AI is going to, if it can create music like that, doesn't it take the artistry away from human beings? I guess that's what I wanted to point out.
Well, I'm sure the same question was asked 50 years ago when the electric piano came out. You know, I mean, I'm quite sure these guys said, that's not a real piano, it's like electric piano.
Yeah.
You know, now, so I just think it's something we have to get used to. I mean, you know, and it's, and the younger generation that's coming up, this is all they know. That's where they start.
Yeah.
So I guess it's something that, you know, probably you and I never grew up with that.
Right.
We don't know what it is.
Right.
But I mean, we know what it is, but we don't know what it's going to evolve into. And this is their starting point. So this is what they know. So instead of sitting down playing a drum beat, you know, the younger generation, they use drum machines. That younger generation behind them, they're going to use an AI. Oh, I'm doing this, and this is the song.
Yeah.
You know?
But I mean, I just think that, all right, is that going to take musicians out of the picture?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of already has. Like, you know, drum machines knocked drummers out of the box,
right?
You know, sample bass lines knocked bass players out of the box, right? Sample piano, you know, it just, you know, and it goes from, I mean, back in the 60s they had this group, and you should check out the documentary. I don't know if we can say it, but it was the Wrecking Crew. So these big acts, you know, like the Beatles, and I mean, I'm not so much the Beatles. I think it was the Beach Boys. They would call this Wrecking Crew to play their music. And once they played the music, they would then their band would learn how the Wrecking Crew played it.
Yeah.
Because they weren't good enough to play as good as the studio musicians.
Wow.
And they paid them all by the hour.
Yeah.
And eventually, when drum machines came out and synthesizers and sequencers, they lost their jobs.
Did you ever work as a studio musician?
I did not.
Would you ever want to do something like that?
No.
Have you ever been to Nashville? I'm sure you have.
I have.
And you've seen the music there?
I have.
And I think I get the impression that most of those guys that are playing are studio musicians, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're all really good, like you. They're very good musicians.
So, in my opinion, you'll take a studio musician. Because they're very different. Studio and live are very different. They sound the same, and you know, the average person will go, oh yeah, you should be playing in a band together. You know, but they're very different. So the guy behind the curtain may not have, he may have the chops, but he doesn't have the personality, you know.
Right.
And they get stage fright. And I'm not saying all they do.
Yeah.
But it's a very different game. You play different in the studio than you do live.
Yeah.
You know.
You can't make mistakes.
No. very consistent. We're on stage, it's like, hey, this is live, you're in the moment. It's never gonna be the same way twice.
Yeah.
But a studio guy is gonna be, he's gonna lock it in, he's gonna lay right there, he's gonna play right behind that click track or on the click track, and he's gonna be right there, and it's gonna be there exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, music's a great business, I think. I mean, it's just the artistry, and like, I played forever. I used to be a saxophone player.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I started with alto, then I went to tenor, but I liked alto.
Okay.
And I played in high school, you know, middle school, high school, and it was really interesting. And I actually was the first chair. You know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I was the first chair. And then after I got into high school, I played. Then when I got out of high school, I really stopped playing. But I played in a band, actually. It's probably a no-name. It was a no-name band. But
mm-hmm.
We used to do Average White Band.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was pretty cool. But then after a while, I just stopped playing. But that was really a good experience.
You should pick it up again and see what happens.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can do it. I sold all my horns. I sold all of them.
Okay.
So part of your life also includes real estate, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So I got into real estate because I wanted to buy and sell my own properties. I would always call my friends and go, hey, man, you know, get me in this property. I want to see it. You know, I want to buy it, you know. And so they got tired of showing me properties. And they said, hey, why don't you get your real estate license? And I was like, why? I got you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's why I got into real estate. And I had some friends that we're still friends now. Matter of fact, I work for the firm now, KWS Realty. We were in the music together. Right? We didn't play together, but we were just friends kind of in the same musical circles.
Yeah.
And they worked at Exit Realty. And Trevor Wolf kind of took me under his, Trevor and Kathy Wolf, they took me under their wings. And they said, hey, this is real estate.
Yeah.
You should join our team. They said, you have what it takes. I was like, really? Like, you see something I don't see. Anyway, long story short, took the test, passed. And so here I was working at Exit with Kathy and Trevor, and great experience. And we all left Exit together. Kathy started her own brokerage, and we all went with her.
So what are you involved with, like residential mostly, or you do
residential commercial? Yeah, I've done a few commercials. I sold a winery. The biggest commercial I sold was a winery in Plymouth. Yeah, it was just like rows and rows of grapes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like learning on the way. You know?
Yeah.
Like, wow. It's like, do you know about this? I was like, sure, I do. Not really, but I know how to sell real estate, but I don't know about the grape thing.
So you've been doing real estate for how long?
Started in 7 years. Starting 2017.
Yeah, you're pretty knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So
that's how I met you.
Yeah, that's how we met. Exactly. Yeah. At continuing education.
Yes.
Right.
I remember that.
I know, that's grueling. You know what that's like, to talk for 6 hours?
I bet.
You know, and it's like, I got to stop, right? And when I do that, like, I'll take a break after talking for about an hour and a half. So I'm standing there, and people start running up to me and asking me legal questions. And I'm going like, man, I got to give my brains a rest.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, I answer them, but
sure,
that's
sure.
Tough.
I know. That's why I gave you your space when I was in class. Matter of fact, I just had a class a few weeks ago with you. Again, now it's back in November.
Yeah, that worked. That was really nice. I met, you know, and everybody meets everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a good experience because they make friends, they make business connections, and I've met a lot of people. And I see the same people coming back every 2 years, you know, and I remember them.
Yeah, I always sign up for you. So I was like, hey, I want that class.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, man. And you sit right in front. I like that.
I do.
Yeah. All right, so I wanted to ask you this is, you have a band called the Rhythm Kings, right?
I do, yep.
And kind of tell me about that.
So Rhythm Kings, we started Rhythm Kings back in 96. You know, we just wanted to put a cover band together. We didn't care about the name. We just wanted, hey, we need a band to make some money. That's what we're doing. So we're playing bars, playing everywhere. And it was just a cover band. That's all it was.
So what is it comprised of? You know, drummer, obviously.
It's a drummer, Von Wall. He was in, back in the day, back in the band called Gerard and the band called The Weight. Myself and Charles Barber, we had a band called Mirage.
So I remember that band.
We had that band back in the day. And Lionel Jimerson is a guy I grew up with. He's a guitar player, left-handed guitar player. And we all just kind of got together and we started. But like, we can make money having fun and drink at that time, drinking and riding around in this painted school bus.
Yeah.
It's like, let's do it. That's what we did.
You still play with them?
Absolutely. Yeah. To this day, we still play together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. How could people find out about where you're playing?
So you can always go to my website, MarcelGuyden.rocks, you know.
Oh, that's a good one. I never heard of that one before.
Hey, that's original.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I have, I have a solo act. Dueling Pianos, I do. If you actually Google the name Marcel Guyden, everything will pop up. My schedule will pop up.
Okay.
I'm everywhere. I wish I could just say, hey, come and see me here. But I just, like, you know, when you do it for a living and you do it so long, You only take 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
You know.
So how often do you play out?
I play on an average of 4 nights a week.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Does it pick up in summertime?
Oh, it totally picks up, yeah. Yeah, I do 2 gigs on one day. So that's, I kind of slam them all in summer. A lot of weddings, a lot of deck parties on Sunday. Matter of fact, I saw you at a deck party out here I was playing at.
Was that at Nips?
No, that was...
Or was it a residence?
Is it called...
I know what you're talking
Sandbar?
About. Sandbar? It's called Sunset Grill.
Sunset Grill.
Right. You were playing there, and you had a good crowd there. Yeah. And it sounded really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, hey, I think that's Marcel.
Yep. Yep,
sure enough.
I was drunk me up there.
Yeah. Very good. You were excellent. Very good.
Yeah, it was fun.
They get a lot of good musicians there, I noticed.
Yeah, they do. You did a good job. It's on the water. Come on. It's on the water. Right. Deck outside.
Right. What do you
food,
want?
Food.
Right.
Everything.
Right. Oh, you my know. God. I like that place. Their food is actually very good.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah.
So I haven't talked to, I think his name's Bernie. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I think his cook was from New Orleans, and he was, kind of bragged about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we were talking earlier, you mentioned that you were a school teacher at one time.
I was studying to be a school teacher.
Okay.
I was student teaching. Yeah,
okay.
That was back in the 80s, yeah.
All right.
And it was at MPS. I don't want to, dog MPS, but they left me in a classroom alone. I'm not even certified to be in a classroom.
Yeah.
Oh, you can handle it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So it kind of scared me. It scared me out.
Did you like it at all? I mean, did you see things from a different perspective, right? Because I'm a teacher too. And
yeah. No, I didn't like it. I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
I didn't. I liked it because of the kids, and I wanted to be there for them. But I'm not going to say politics is the wrong word to use. Politics, I guess, is the right word to use. Politics behind the scene was bad.
Yeah.
How do you leave a student teacher in a classroom with a kid with the kids? I wasn't even certified. I was scared. I was like, I'm gonna get arrested.
Yeah.
I was in my early 20s, cops are coming.
Wow. That's there's problems with the school systems these days.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a really fine son named Sam.
Yep, Sam Guyton.
Yeah. And tell us a little bit about Sam.
I can go on forever.
Does he play any instruments like you?
Oh, my God, yeah. Yes. Plays guitar, piano, sings, fronts. He's a dancer. And I was never a dancer, but he's also a dancer. He's a choreographer. So,
yeah.
So I went to Shorewood High School. I wanted him to go to Shorewood because I thought it was a great school. Well, it still is a great school. And we toured the school, and he said, wasn't very excited. I said, Sam, what's going on? He's like, I want to go to High School of the Arts. I was like, absolutely no way.
Yeah.
So we walked in, his mom and I walked in the door, and a fight broke out, I was like, oh man. He's like, you're not going here.
Yeah.
And then they all came in the office, and then they broke the fight up, the kids go away, and then they all started singing, And I was like, wow, these are artists in this school. And they all had something in common. I don't know what it was, but I was like, this is where you need to be.
Yep.
And then I had to have a conference with myself and go, hey, this is his life. Let him go to school where he wants. And just support him.
How did his career evolve now?
I have the letter. So back in eighth grade, he helped kids do some play in school. I can't remember what it was, but he wrote a letter. His teacher wrote a letter saying, hey, Sam, great. Thank you for helping the kids. You should become a school teacher.
Yeah.
His response was, oh no, I'm going to go to NYU and I'm going to be a lawyer. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
I have it. I still have it.
Wow.
And
he made a better choice.
I know. So he already knew he wanted to go to New York. He already knew that was where he wanted to go. So, after high school, he got a free ride to Marquette. He said, Dad, nice. I'm not going to Marquette. I blew a gasket. I was like, are you going somewhere? I'm thinking in my mind, he's not going to college.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Dad, no, I'm going to college. I'm just not going to Marquette. I want to go to New York.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, we can go to New York. Now I'm balling. Because
yeah.
I'm like, he's like, why are you crying? I'm like, I'm not going to see you. He's like, oh, Dad, okay, well, got to get over it. So anyway. So he goes to NYU, and we drop him off, and I say, hey man, the world's yours, go out and do you. He said, Dad, what if I don't make it? I said, what if you do?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
So, and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, none of us do. I said, we have to go out and try. I said, you can always come back home and start over if you have to.
Yeah.
I said, you were making good money. So in high school, he had a band called Generation Z. I don't know if you guys heard of the band, but he put that band together in high school, and they were making good money. Yeah. You know, so he was making almost more than me.
So he does mostly now, he performs in New York primarily.
Yes, there's a company called Valley Entertainment, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of private parties, a lot of weddings, a lot of big events. So and that's what he does in New York. He also comes here. We have Guyton Entertainment, and you know, between the events here, events in New York, and he travels all over. You know.
So he does that full time now. He's a full time musician, nothing else.
Yep, full time.
That's good.
Yeah,
he's doing musician. Good.
Yep. He also dabbles in real estate. He owns a few properties. So
in New York?
No, they're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. He's following his father's footsteps.
That's why we want to get into real estate, so I can get in my own properties and see properties.
Yeah.
So
Sam is doing good.
Sam's doing great. Yeah. Sam is fantastic. Google him, check him out.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a few original songs on YouTube. He's got his own YouTube channel.
I saw him once, and that was in Saloon in Calhoun, which is gone now. We talked about that.
Yeah.
But that was like during COVID, and everything was outside. They didn't have anything inside. And I was blown away by the way he was singing, you know, and just his showmanship was really good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how I kind of eventually I put two and two together. I said, oh, Marcel and Sam, okay, he must be his son, right? That's how I got in that.
Yeah.
So would you ever consider, say, leaving Milwaukee if you got a good gig in another state, like a permanent gig?
California, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
My daughter lives out there.
I know.
Too expensive.
I know. I thought about it.
And too many fires, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you'd asked me that question 10 years ago, I would say yes. But now, traveling as much as I have, and, you know, I mean, I've been in Utah, I was in Hong Kong, you know. It's like, I'm a Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
I like it here.
Do you like the winter?
Now I do, because they're changing.
Yeah. Right. I hate winter. I don't know what I'm doing here.
The short answer is, yeah, I hate winter too, but if I got the winters like we have them right now, you know, I'm like, we had like, what, two snowstorms last year? I can deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I wasn't here. I was in Florida.
Look at you.
For 4 months. I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it was great because what that does to you, I was there from January till the end of April. I got back here early May. It's just like you were in summer. And then you come back to Wisconsin and you missed winter and it's like two summers.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
Now I know these people. Like. Yeah, now I know why these people do that, but it's, you know, get out of the winter. It's nice.
I've done that a few times. My first time in Florida, I was in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. But, you know, cost of living, you know, I guess. I guess I'm cheap.
Yeah, but it's a lot more it's not as expensive as California. I mean, that's ridiculous. No. And a lot of musicians especially have moved out of there because of the taxes.
Right.
Right? And they move to like Nashville or they're going to, you know, Texas, which makes sense.
It does. Nevada too, because, you know, that they don't have a state tax.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That makes a huge difference.
All right, so you're gonna treat us to some music. Right?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a little plan for you.
Okay.
Tickle the ivories a little bit.
Yeah. And I appreciate you coming, Marcel. You're a good
guy.
Thank you
for having me.
You're a very good guy.
Thank you.
All right.
Takes one to know one.
Thank you. Yeah. Don't sob, call Bob.
All right. So this is a song I wrote called Get in the Groove. Do a little bit for you. And there's drums and things going on in my head right now. Get in the groove, let your body move. Get in the groove, let your body move. One-on-one
for fun. The party's just begun. It's me and you all night, and we'll do it right. Get in the groove, let your body move. Get in the groove, let your body move.
So I wrote that song for the Milwaukee Bucks back in the day, I don't know, around 2010 or so.